No, athletics is becoming more and more important. People are pushing, I think, their limits and boundaries all the time. Everybody, you got to be faster, you got to be stronger, you got to be bigger. Of course, with that and pushing and less rest, there seems to be a bigger concern now is the difference between being hurt and having limited abilities. And I think a lot of times, you know, we're told, especially in North America, oh, you got to play through the pain, play through the pain. Well, playing through it, I guess, in certain instances, maybe that's the case, but what about training through it? How much of a deterrent is that? And Derek Lampshire from River Valley Health joins me once again. Derek, I know you guys did kind of a study on the difference between hurt and pain, and there's kind of a significant difference, but both of them impact.
Well, basically it's a limit in performance. So striving to be the best athlete, you want to perform at your optimum level. And a lot of athletes, so to give an example, if we were, we deal with a sports team, and we say to how many people you guys injured, so to speak. Well, you can tell the guy in the crutches or the guy limping or the, and they label that as not playing. So the injury list, so on and so forth. So we'll say a team of 20, there's one guy, two guys injured. They're in the medical room, so on and so forth. And then you start doing, we do a complete movement assessment, looking at movement patterns, simple patterns and complex patterns, because everything needs to work as a structure. That's where a lot of training and rehab and active release, like making the body move at its optimal level is going and is at. And basically through those assessments, we're like, you start asking these questions and they're like, oh yeah, no, I had a tight hamstring all year, or hockey examples. Oh, I always have a tight groin. And right, that is considered hurt. So that person cannot function at their optimal efficiency, and that's going to be a limit in performance. They can still play. They're still, hey, suck it up. Maybe they're not by definition hurt, but they're limited in the performance. So if you take that 20, probably 15 of those guys are by defined hurt. And you and I were talking just before we went on there. Well, you, when you push yourself, you're a good athlete, you're always kind of hurt. Like in the Stanley Cup, everyone's got injuries, so on and so forth. But you need to manage those injuries. And if you can start off that, using the Stanley Cup example, healthier, you're going to be one step ahead. You're always looking for a competitive edge over the guy across from you, right? So if you can manage, if you want to be a good athlete, you need to have a therapist, whether it be a chiropractor, massage, physical therapist that does soft tissue work to keep the body moving at an optimal level. You need to have a good trainer, so on and so forth. Because if you have that, using that tight groin example, and it's the classic hockey example, you are eventually going to get injured, and that equates to scholarships, money down the road. I'm talking at a peak performance level.
When you talk about that, so a lot of it, I know poor mechanics is probably the number one thing. And, you know,
correct, yeah.
A lot of parents listening, a lot of young athletes are getting into training more so, right? So, you know, and some people know how to train better than others, but a lot of it just isn't the training factor. It's after the training factor. It's, or even pre, warming up properly so you ensure that by the time, if you want to get stronger and you're getting in on bench press or you're getting in on deadlift or whatever you're doing, that your body is warmed up so then you can take that extra force and not have it seize up afterwards, right? So is the biggest lack right now pre or post workout as far as preventative?
I would probably say pre and also overtraining. We've talked about that in the past, but definitely the pre, because the pre kind of fits with that overtraining concept. A lot of times people will be like, okay, I'm doing speed work today, just for example. And you do a certain warm-up. And first of all, just state for the record, we're going to make another topic. 99% of athletes don't warm up properly, don't know how to warm up. There's obviously a physical component, but there's a mental. It's called preparation. It's preparing your body, preparing your mind to get ready for your sporting activity, lifting, so on and so forth. But if you're, I always say to people, we generally have, now there's guys like us who are limited in time. You know, like if you take the CrossFit guy, comes in his car 2 minutes before class, runs in, sat all day, class is starting. Okay, well, you need to do something. So a lot of times I've talked about in the previous shows, I focus on breathing. If you can just get some of that breathing down, ground yourself, that'll get some alignment, kind of ground the body, teach some skills. 2 minutes, that's all you can do. That's better than nothing. But ideally, with talking about if you have 10, 15 minutes, that's kind of all you need at a general level. And I always say, if if you don't feel good, don't feel like you're ready to go, you should be like, I'm amped to go. I'm ready to go. If you don't feel like that, you're not ready to go. And that's then we call that a regeneration day. That means you're either over and you're going to set yourself up. That's where if you're doing lifting or speed drills, you're going to potentially pull a hamstring. Your propensity for injury is a lot higher.
In hockey, because I know it's an unnatural motion, that's why a lot of hockey players have tight groins and they deal with it over time. What's the best way to prevent that? So at least maybe or limit the amount of tightness in groins.
Well, first of all, get treatment. I'm a chiropractor. That's my background. I do specialize in soft tissue work, active release, which for people who don't know, it deals with soft tissue tightness, for lack of a better description. And just you move better. So it takes out a lot of that. Get some stretch to the tissue so that tissue can work at a better. You said it. Skating is a very difficult. We're more set up to run, walk than the skating. That's a very complex movement. So making sure you take care of your body, getting some proper. One exercise we started doing with a lot of our hockey players, we do a lateral. How would I describe this on the radio? A lateral squat, lateral split squat, lungy. So it's basically instead of doing. People know what split squats are. It's taking it in a lateral position. Now you need to do it properly. The hockey players hate it because they can't do it. But what it does is it opens up that pelvis, and we had a kid in today.
And they can't do it just because they're too tight?
Too tight, 100%. Okay. We had a kid in today, first set, he said to me, that's hurting my back. But because we've worked on drills, and I said, this is a zone we need to open you up because you're always, a hockey player always has, at least I've never met one that doesn't, tight adductors. So that's the muscle inside the leg, that big muscle inside the leg. And it just, if you think of that lateral movement, now you need to do that lateral movement properly, because if you don't do that lateral movement properly, then you're going to set yourself up for injury. But opening up that pelvis, getting that, because everybody that we have worked in that movement pattern, what's happening is they're going on the ice. I had a hockey guy in today, and he's like, honestly, and he plays in Europe, been there for 6-8 years, and he kind of got on board with taking care of himself. He's always taken care of himself, but to an extra level the last 4 years. He's like, honestly, I move better today at 28 than I do at 18.
Yeah.
Because he's just, there's movement patterns. It's biomechanics.
And, right? And I guess the advantage of that, Derek Lamshire joins us from River Valley Health, is that because a lot of people are like, you know what? Can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? But your body can retrain itself. And if you become more mobile, that you're actually, because most people when they have back pain is they think it's their back. But all the studies say really it's tight hamstrings, is it not? For the average guy, his tight back is because of hamstrings.
100%. You know, most people's hip flexors are tight, so it's the muscle in the front of the hip. It's reciprocal inhibition. If the hip flexors are tight, your glutes don't work, your hamstrings got to take over. Classic. Sitting, our posture, we sit all, even if you look at a junior athlete, they sit on a bus, they play video games. Like, other than practice and training, they don't, you know, no one plays outside anymore, you know, younger athletes. So you have tight, and when I started practice, I've been practicing for 11 years, and you got a guy, back injury, hip flexor plays a massive part of it, but back injury, so on and so forth, you know, you focus on the back. Well, now 99% of the time, I focus on the hamstring instantly, because you get in some of those hamstrings, and then when you start training, it's impossible to train, because as you fix an athlete, they want to push themselves harder. That's how you become a good athlete. And you can't do things perfect. You have to understand that. But you always, like, if we have a fence, we have on the good side of the fence, bad side of the fence. You always want to be on the good side of the fence because you're less likely to get injured. So when you're pushing, if you do a heavy deadlift day, talking to an older athlete, you're always going to have a tight hamstring after, no matter how good you are. So if you have a therapist or someone who can clean that up, self-prevention is some foam rolling. We do in our warm-up, we do something called a movement prepping, which works on setting the body properly without load to move properly, so you prevent injury.
Now, nutrition we know is a big thing for athletes. You got to eat right. Your body's like a car now. If it's got the proper fuel, it works better. But the hydration for a lot of people, dehydration leads to injuries in a lot of the top level athletes, and they're not even aware of it. How come?
We just don't drink enough water. At the end of the day, you know, I think. Like we said, we talked about a little earlier, some of these supplement drinks, everyone's hopping on they're full of sugar. I know you've talked about that with other guests. I know Paul and you have talked about that. And it's just, for some reason, you have to learn to, like, you got to drink water. Like in the days, before they generated all this other drinks, you know, the Gatorades of the world. You got to drink water, and I believe it's 4 liters or something. I don't know the exact stats. You got to look it up. The more active you are, the best athletes are always carrying water, and it's unbelievable how few athletes drink enough water and how few people. So I always say to people, in fact, today in the clinic, we're talking about Achilles ruptures. I have no idea. I don't remember how we got on the topic. And a lady I was seeing, she's like, there seems to be a lot of Achilles ruptures. And why is that? And I said, honestly, I think it's just dehydration. Because a bicep rupture, an Achilles tendon rupture are the most common if you're going to basically tear right off, right?
Yep.
And if it's little micro tears. And I've never done the research, but I'm sure if you looked at it right away, how do you prevent that? How do you minimize your chance for that? Because it comes from tight hamstrings. Tight calves. Tight calves. Tightness comes from many things, but the first step I say to people, and the easy thing, you don't need an expert to do this, just drink more water. So I always say to people, probably an average person would probably be 3 liters of water, 2 to 3 liters. I don't know the exact number, to be honest with you, because I work more with the high-level athletes. I know it's about four liters, and then if we put them on a hard workout, it's 5 liters, 6 liters.
And that's a day.
That's a day. And then when you first do that, if you aren't peeing a lot, then you're not drinking enough water. Once your body gets used to it, and nowadays I'm guilty of it. I drink coffee. So you add a cup of coffee and boom, that doubles. I think for every cup of coffee, you got to add 2.
You got to counter that.
Fluid.
Yeah.
So the adults who drink coffee.
And obviously one of the easy ones for guys, because we stand up usually, is you're looking, if you got a clear urine instead of yellow, that's a sign that you're supposedly hydrated. Now, if you're eating asparagus and stuff, that kind of ruins it, because then you're always going, you got the bright yellow, so you can't tell anyway.
And it's a Friday night, throw a little Grey Goose with water. There you go. Dr. Lamster said hydrate.
Sure, yeah. Well, exactly. That is. Oh, I can tell you that cures your hangover a lot less if you're drinking water with your drinks rather than the sugary pop, for sure. We talked about the improper warm-up, but you're given a guideline of 10 minutes. And, a lot of the parents out there, their kids are now becoming more serious at a younger age, and it's baseball season now and everything else. I know you work with a lot of hockey guys, but you've worked with a lot of other athletes, Olympians. Baseball now is becoming, we've got a lot more baseball guys in Edmonton. And the warm-up for baseball, especially for the shoulder, because it's not an actual joint, you're going to lead to a lot of the problems. Does a shoulder warm-up have to be more intense than a leg warm-up?
A shoulder warm-up, all warm-ups have to be quality controlled, but a shoulder warm-up is a much more complicated movement pattern. That's why a lot of people have shoulder injuries, because we have so much mobility in that area, so the stability is an issue. So a shoulder warm-up is more complicated. I wouldn't say you have to work harder, but very few people do a shoulder warm-up properly. And one thing you said there that triggered something, We work with the prospects in town, and so we had them in the clinic, and good athletes, they got all the shoulder exercises. 99% of them, I won't say we're doing it wrong, they weren't doing it right. So they have little things. One guy had a little bit of an elbow thing, and the nice thing is, once we got him doing it, he was doing it better, and he's like, hey, my arm feels better. And I'm like, okay, well, you need to. So just some bad patterns have set in. And another thing, the baseball players are guilty of this. I'm going to call the baseball players out. You throw right-handed. Bang. You don't just rehab or train the right shoulder. and we laugh. These are college level, Div 1 guys. These are good baseball players. And they're like, oh, I don't do my left side. I don't do my, I'm talking for a righty. And I'm like, okay, but that's it. And maybe on another show, we talk about complex patterns, how the right equals the left and how you get crisscross patterns. The classic jump in a sport here, but the hockey player, why hockey players also get screwed up is you carry a stick. And you carry a stick, you don't shoot right one shift and shoot left the next shift, right? So everyone's like, I can cross over better one way. That's all patterns. In my day, you accepted it. You're like, dude, that's why I turn better right. Well, just keep turning right. Well, that's not what you do. Yeah. So you have to do everything right equals left, because you need that balance. You need that balance and quality over quantity.
And for a lot of athletes, anybody out there, I don't care if you're just the average Joe like me and you work out, a lot of people will stick to the stuff they're good at.
100%.
And that's great, but it doesn't give you the balance, and then it actually leads to imbalance, which leads to other problems. But we're comfortable, and that's got to be the hardest thing for the average athlete or anybody, is to get out of your routine, right, and to always change it up and ensure that you're implementing new workouts and new movements, even though you're not good at them. Is you're like, well, I'm not getting as much out of this. If I keep doing this because I'm good at it, I'm going to get more out of it. But in fact, it probably ends up being more counterproductive.
Well, and you think about that. The best athletes that they are the best at literally everything. And we've talked about it in previous shows too, is you don't want to just be the best hockey player. You want to be the best athlete. And a good example is a pull-up. And using the fitness analogy, I don't know many people that like a pull-up, because everyone sucks at a pull-up. No one likes to pull. Everyone likes to push. Everyone goes to the bench press. You go to a local gym here, you have to fight to get on the bench press.
Yeah.
The pull-up bar is empty. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and,
true.
And if you did a little bit of research a couple of years ago, and if you look at they use the pull-up for a hockey player as one of the tests to determine strength. And And actually, I just was at a hockey conference in Colorado Springs. And what guy, I think he worked at Tampa Bay, and kind of was blasting the combine and this and that. And he said, because the VO2 and that, because it's an endurance sport, but it's a power sport, so on and so forth. And he said the one test, and something to take out of this, that actually has a correlation to being better is the grip strength test. And he says that is the correlation. The people that scored better at this test turned out to be better athletes, because it's usually, you can't be strong. When I first started working with some of the hockey players, we would do something. We do some of our shoulder training, that shoulder rehab. One exercise we do is just hang off a bar. So just grab a bar and
see how long you can hang.
You should be able to hang for a minute. You should be able to talk to me. You should be able to keep your core, not arch your back, so on and so forth. Try it out. You can't stay there for 15 seconds. And if you are, you're switching your grip, and you're like, yeah.
So just anybody out there, grab the bar.
Where's the chalk? It's like, so I thought that was interesting. And it's interesting. At the very first day, no one can hang off the bar. You know what I mean? And because they're strong, their pecs are strong, but you need strength through
grip
that whole
strength.
Unit,
yeah,
right?
It's very
you need
true.
Strength. If you look at the lower body, you need strength through your ankles. The fastest people have the best ankle mobility and the best ankle stability, for lack of a better term. So,
Derek Lampshire from Ravelli Health, if you want to learn more, 430-9224. Be a better athlete. You can train there. Outstanding stuff. Always appreciate it. We'll do it again next month.
For sure. Thanks, Jay.